So, over the past few years, we have been on a church-wide journey called Renewing the Focus. We have thoroughly gone through our church's strengths and challenges, the demographics of our area, the gifts, the passions of our church, and so much more. So many things went into this process to renew our focus as a church. An important part of this was to revisit our core values and our mission statement, because that's what any organization stands on. That is the foundation of any organization. And so in doing that, last year, the leadership created a new core, our new core values and a new mission statement, brand new. And so this year, we took some time to really dig into these core values and really get to know them, really get to understand them, and to break them down in all sorts of different pieces, and so we know them in details. These core values, they are found on our website. So if you go to our website and you go to the About Us page, the core values are right there underneath that. So you got the mission statement and then the core values. With all the scripture, I know that's teeny up on the screen for you guys, but when you're on your computer monitor at home, you can see the, or if you just pull it up on your phone right now, you could see the main scripture that each core value is attached to, and then there are additional scriptures. Wow, thank you. There are additional scriptures that go with those. So we've got that. Not only do we have that, but we have brochures at the Information Center. We've got a little half sheet that's very simple, and then we've got a trifold, a little three-fold brochure out at the Information Center. So you can have these, get them, put them places, memorize them, read the scriptures that go along with them. And we've really, really been digging into these, because if you see a thriving, successful organization, they will have clearly defined and supported core values. Our core values will shape everything about what we do here at Miami Town, how we respond to God in our personal faith, and how we respond to God as a church collectively in our faith, our direction, our goals, all based on these core values, how we go about achieving these goals, our strategy. Any changes we experience, they will be based on these core values. We will be constantly evaluating, looking at our church, how can we build on these core values? How can we base what we do here on core values? Our view of worship stands on these core values of Bible study, of fellowship, of service, of sharing our faith, of living our faith, our program decisions, our outreach, everything. Everything will come out of these core values. Everything will stand on this foundation of what we've built here in these five core values, all solidly shared in Scripture. And hopefully we've gotten a little bit of that in these series, that these core values are just dripping with Scripture. And that's why they're so powerful and potent. It's not because the leadership did anything special. It's because they are fully represent Scripture. Our first two core values, let's review these one more time as we are at the very end of all of these series. And so they are the sermons, not only the core values, but these sermons are available online as well. So if you want to go back and catch up, or if you missed one, or if you're like, you know what, I want to dig a little more into the growing God's kingdom core value. That one really resonated. Then those are all available online. So our first two core values, God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. That was first in the Ten Commandments. That was first with Jesus when he was asked, what's the most important thing? He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? So why would it not be first here? So that's our first core value, because it's consistent in Scripture. God is first. Devoted to God, core value number two, a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Those are strong words, but that's what Scripture teaches. A complete abandonment of self, a full dependence on God. That's what devoted to God looks like. These first two core values are very vertically focused. If you notice our mission statement on your bulletin out on the sign, on the screen before the services, our mission statement is growing in God, and that focus is very vertical. And then investing in people, growing in God, investing in people. Investing in people is more horizontal. And so our core values grab these. Our first two are very vertical, growing in God. Our middle one, our third one, kind of bridges these two. It's growing God's kingdom. And then the last three are all on this side, but that one bridges them. So we've got the third core value, which goes into this more horizontal look, growing God's kingdom. That is increasing and developing, not just one or the other, but it's both. It's building breadth. It's the amount of people that come to Christ, but it's also the depth of the people that come to Christ. That we are increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. Number four, core value number four, actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And then core value number five, we've been talking about this month, is connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. We talked about how compassion, we took those three last words there, compassion, service, and support, and the last three messages have been on just those single words. We talked about how compassion is you are reaching from a position that is able to help to a position where they wouldn't be able to get help otherwise. They're unable to help themselves. One of the illustrations we used was quicksand, and I've never had any brushes with quicksand, but we all know in the movies, because movies are accurate, but that you can't get out of quicksand without help. And so I guess since it's been in the movies, since movies have been in production, there's got to be some level of truth to that. But the illustration, I think we all connect with that understanding that's the idea of compassion. You see someone in a position where they cannot help themselves, and you reach out to them to lift them up. That's compassion. We talked about how service, the next word there at the bottom, compassion, service, how service is not a reaching out, but service is a stepping in. You don't want to do that when it's quicksand. Okay, so it's stepping in and getting into their situation. And that's getting into an inside position to help out. This is helping from a position where you are able and they're not able. This is stepping into a position saying, you know what? I'll help share your burden. I'll help you carry this. Is there anything I can help you with? How can I go through this with you? If it's just listening, or if it's helping out in some way, or maybe you've got a gift or a talent that can help out there. I mean, that's biblical, serving each other with our gifts. And so that's stepping in. Today we're talking about support. Support comes from the next step down, and that's going underneath. That's laying yourself down to lift up. To get underneath the lift up. So it's not like you're coming from the top with compassion where you're pulling up to get them out of quicksand or whatever. You're lifting up. And whereas compassion is you're helping someone that can't help themselves, what's interesting about with support and encouragement, I'm getting my steps in today. With support and encouragement, you're actually helping them to help themselves. Have you noticed that? That's really what encouragement does. It's what support does. You're helping them to help themselves. They can do what they need to do to get out of whatever they're involved in, or to get through whatever they're. But you're getting in there and you're getting underneath them. You're lifting. You're propping them up. You're saying, "You can do this. You got this." And that's encouragement. That's support. And what's really neat about support is that any of us can do the basics of support. Let's go and write these down. Start taking notes in your bulletins. Any one of us can get behind someone and help them to help themselves. Can we not? Any one of us can do this. This is simple, simple, simple. Get behind someone and help them to help themselves. Get behind them and help them to help themselves. That's what we can do. That's the simple act of encouragement or support. And you don't really need anything special to do that. You just get underneath them. You prop them up. You help them out. Any one of us can give strength and encouragement to someone through support, or strength and endurance to someone through support and encouragement. Let's write that down. And that is so powerful. If you can give someone strength and endurance, you can make a big impact in their life. You can make a huge difference. And any one of us can give strength and endurance by offering encouragement and support. So it's pretty simple. Now, let's go and get the next note. Let's talk about biblical encouragement. This adds a little bit to things. Biblical encouragement is, what is that word? It is powerful. Regular encouragement is powerful. Biblical encouragement is supernaturally powerful. It is powerful. And so let's take some notes. Let's look at biblical encouragement. It should be happening daily among God's people. Let's write that down. It should be happening daily among God's people. We've been focusing in this series on reaching others. We've been talking about it being very, very outreach oriented, very outward, reaching those outside the church, building relationships, intentional relationships. And we've talked in our first message on the, on our core values of this message. We defined what a real relationship looks like, that, that we're wanting to build real relationships that, that have a purpose, that they're intentional, that we will be intentional about those relationships. That, but those relationships aren't just outside the body. You know, I'm gonna flip the script a little bit with you this morning. Those relationships are inside the body as well. We're not just gaining, or, you know, in that sermon we were talking about very intentional relationships where we earn respect and we earn permissions. Now, that does a lot for being able to share Christ with someone, to be able to show God to someone outside the church, but that does a lot for us inside our church, correct? That needs to be important to us, to earn respect of each other, to earn permissions with each other. How else are we going to be able to develop disciples? Not just increase. Growing God's kingdom means increasing disciples and developing disciples. And so we work hard on the inside as well to earn respect and permission from each of us so that we can speak into each other's lives, so that we can encourage at a depth and a level that really, really connects, that we can grow God's kingdom, increasing disciples and developing disciples, that we would be mindful in our lives that we are the example that others see. We talked about how that's an outside principle, but that's an inside principle too, isn't it? Yes. We should be able to look to each one of us for inspiration, that we should be able to encourage each other simply by the lifestyle we live, by the way that we live, the attitude that we have, that it matches that of Christ, that our behavior is that is consistent with what God has asked of us as his followers, as his children, as his servants. And we should be able to look to each other as the example, that we should set the example for each other, that we would develop stable foundations with each other, a stable foundation of trust with each other through keeping our word. That's not just effective for building trust outside. That's effective for building trust inside as well, to provide endurance and encouragement by coming alongside someone. Everyone needs an advocate. We talked about that, right? Everyone needs someone that they can be themselves around, that they can talk to. So we want to present a safe environment by being accepting and non-judgmental. Those things aren't just effective outside. Those things are effective inside. And they're very, very important to growing disciples, developing disciples. We talked about compassion, connecting through compassion. As we reach out to help someone who's not able to help themselves, that compassion is a choice. That it is more than just an emotion, it is a biblical virtue. And that instead of it just being about pity, compassion is about action. Because every time you see Jesus having compassion, it is connected to action. And if that's the way Jesus views it, that's the way his followers ought to view it as well. And that's not just outside the church, that's inside the church. To have compassion on each other, not just to look down on someone's situation, but to look into their life and say, how can I lift them up? How can I give them a hand? Because they're in a position where they can't help themselves, and I am in a position where I'm able to help. And that's where compassion makes the connection, connecting with people outside, connecting with people inside. It applies to all people. As we connect with people through compassion, we see those things happen. We talked about service last week, about connecting with people through service, and that true freedom is found in choosing to be a slave to Christ and a servant of all. And that exercising our freedoms to chase after anything else really results in slavery anyway. So you're going to be, the truth is that we looked at last week, you're going to be a slave to something. I'd rather be a slave to something I choose to be a slave to than deceptively be a slave to something that I think is giving me freedom, and it's not. So real freedom's choosing Christ. And it's consistent through the Bible that God is the master, we are the servants. That is across the Old Testament, the New Testament. And so as we are the servants, clearly in Scripture, we don't just serve those on the outside, we serve each other, do we not? Yes? We serve the servants. In fact, there's a ton of biblical support there that we should treat those inside the church with a high level of regard of compassion, a high level of service to each other. And that increases, that helps us to develop each other as we serve each other and we really connect with people and in these relationships. And when we serve, whether it's outside or whether it's inside, all the principles we looked at last week are true. When we serve, we communicate value to whoever it is we're serving. We're communicating value. We're saying, you're worth something. You're important to me. You're valuable. So I'm serving you. That communicates value. We represent Jesus' actions and attitudes to whoever we are serving. We enter into an inside position when we serve. We step in with them. That's a big deal. Not just with those outside, those inside as well. To step in and to serve and to go with them. To say, hey, I'll carry your load. Because that was Jesus' example for us, wasn't it? He stepped in. And he came from heaven to earth. And if that wasn't clear enough, he was very clear when he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That picture that conjured up for the agriculturally minded people he was talking to was a yoke that would go across whatever kind of farm animal that you can imagine. One would be under one side, the other would be on the other. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he said, you've seen what I've done, now go and do for others what I've done for you. So we step in and we step in for each other and we help to bear each other's burdens. We get underneath the yoke with each other. And we reveal through our actions who we serve and what real freedom looks like. And we offer a countercultural lifestyle that is full of peace and joy. And then core value number five. Let's read that one more time. Connecting with God's people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. We are in the last word of the last core value of all of it. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another, what? Daily. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is specifically about encouraging the family inside. Okay, to flip the script from the other weeks where it has been very outside focused. But hopefully within the last 5 minutes you see how that connects all across. Connecting to people is not just outside, it's inside as well. The actual Greek here, which is really, really neat, but encourage one another daily. We lose some of the Greek. The Greek is actually encourage yourselves. It's a collective unit. It's not just encourage one another. It's encourage yourselves. It's a very intimate picture that's created by that Greek word that's used there. Is encourage yourselves. You're one body. You're one person. Encourage yourself. As we encourage each other, we're encouraging yourself, the body of Christ. It's not just a bunch of individuals. That you, collective, encourage yourselves collectively. And this should happen daily. Not just when we meet together on a Sunday morning. And this was something that I think has been a tremendous breakdown of the church through the last couple of millennia, that we've lost this idea of this daily connection with the church. It's what the early church did. It's what they were involved in. They were tight. They were together. And for us to meet together on a Sunday and then have everything else going on through the week and then come back on Sunday, no, encouragement happens daily. That's how it gets its strength. Encourage each other daily. There's an urgency to that verse. Let's go back to the verse real quick. And as long as it's called what? Today. Because you don't know what tomorrow brings. We've all been faced with tragedies. We just had a week where we were remembered on Patriots Day of how the whole country changed in just a matter of minutes. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what the next minute brings. The Hebrews writer wants to express an urgency to all of those who read this. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. Encourage each other daily, because you don't know what's coming. You do know you have right now. You have today, capital T, today. You have that. Use it. Use it. It's a big deal. It's serious stuff. Take this advice, this command, and see the urgency of encouraging yourselves daily. You know, most of you are aware I have two boys. We have two boys. Sometimes I have two boys when they're your boys did this. But we have two boys. We have a soon to be 12 and 13. They're very close, so it's really weird when they're 2 years apart in saying 11 and 12, because they're only 15 months apart. So there's only, you know, 3 months out of the year where we say 11 and 13. It'll be 12 and 13 very soon. And in our house, I've had a principle that I've been trying to ingrain in them and to give to them that's I say it often. And I tell them, the way you act here is practice for how you act outside of our house. The way you treat each other, the way you treat your mom and dad inside the house, inside these little private quarters, that's practice for how you're going to treat people outside the house. You're going to mimic that. If you're kind and polite and respectful, that's going to show outside, the way you treat others outside. You can't expect to be mean and bitter and devour each other inside and then go outside and be kind and respectful. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so father to, you know, church people, not father like. So, but that principle, that idea to bring that into our house here as a church family, how we practice inside is how we're going to behave outside. Yes? What a better group to practice on. I mean, if I'm not very encouraging and I'm trying, then I can work at it and practice with you guys and get better, so that when I'm encouraging someone outside, I'm ready for game day, right? So what we practice inside, we're going to use outside. And while we're practicing here, we're benefiting each other as well. So we do this daily. We practice inside. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That last part in that verse, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I want us to understand the power of biblical encouragement. That last sentence. So that none of you, it's not just so that they can feel better, so they can get through, you know, a rough day or a difficult person at work or someone at school that's picking on them or maybe they got some, you know, financial things that happen and you're just going to help them, encourage them, support them through that, get up underneath them, lift them up. No, this is all the way up here. This is a top level benefit. Encourage one another so that you can deter sin in their life. That's a big deal, is it not? Let's write that down, because that is huge. Encouragement can have a life-changing impact on a spiritual level. We've seen the destructiveness of sin. We know it firsthand. And if we can help to prevent that, shouldn't we? If we know of something that's amazingly simple, but yet that powerful, that you can keep someone from being hardened by sin's deceitfulness by encouraging them often as you can, daily. That we would be able to strengthen our brothers and sisters so that they would be following God's will on a daily basis. and not following the spirit of rebellion that can capture any one of our thoughts on any day of the week, not just a Sunday. We all know that sin has life-changing effects. It is destructive. It is deceitful. It is harmful. Of course, we know the whole eternal side of things, but just to take it just right now, today, capital T, today, on an earthly level, we know that sin has earthly consequences and earthly ramifications, and none of those are healthy at all for anybody, correct? You can help prevent that. You can help prevent that for each other. How? Simply by encouraging. Left unchecked, sin can totally shipwreck a life. And we have seen some who have walked away from the faith because sin so entangled them. We can prevent that, church. At least we can do all we can to help prevent that. And something as simple as encouragement is so powerful that the Bible says, not just some guy standing up here on stage with a mic, but the Bible says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that they may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That is a big deal. Let's detail out what encouragement looks like here. Let's write this down. Encouragement simply involves willingness. Willingness. John quotes Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus gave his life willingly, did he not? We just sung it. I tried to learn to play it a little bit today. Jesus paid it all. That was willingly. He laid his life down. Anytime you lay your life down, anytime you get down to this level, to lift someone up, that's laying your life. That's laying down for them. That's getting underneath them to help lift them up, to support them, to encourage them. Anytime you do that, there's a humility attached to that, to lay down, and you must be willing. That is a first piece to any of the things we've talked about. But encouragement, especially that's the simple side of it. You must be willing to do it. Willing to be available. Willing to be used. Encouragement takes emotional energy. It's simple, but that's the truth. You have to be prepared for that. Encouragement is going to take emotional energy. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul's describing the act of restoring a brother or a sister who has been caught in sin. And he talks about restoring them gently. And to watch yourself so that you don't get pulled into the quicksand, you need to watch yourself there in the process to make sure that you don't get pulled in. But the goal is that we would bear one another's burdens. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And we skip down to verse 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, outside, inside, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It takes emotional energy anytime that we are going to go in and help someone bear a burden. To invest in another person takes emotional energy, and that's the truth that we must understand. We must count the cost, as Jesus said. So we must be willing. It's going to take emotional energy. And Paul tells us we must be willing to do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And we must not grow weary of doing what is right, doing the right thing, doing what is good. Encouraging each other, it requires time. Simple. Simple, but I think that's a potent note to take in your bulletins, because time is a commodity in our culture, in our society, that has developed a crazy high value. We have to get there in time. We have to make sure it's over in time. We have to see if we have time. Let me check my schedule. I've got 5 minutes right now, and that's all I've got until this same time next week. Time, we live without margins, and that's not healthy. Many of us would give the shirts off our back. We give to missions. If we have something special, a special offering for someone to help someone, you guys give, and you give generously, and that's great. But to give our time, now you're asking too much. Time has grown to an astronomical value in our culture, in our society. But the simple side of encouragement is that encouragement should happen when? Today. Capital T. Today. You can't say, well, I'll schedule it in or I'll work it. No, you need margin enough to have margin for encouragement. Because of the power that's involved in encouragement, we can't afford to miss lifting someone up, supporting someone through encouragement. We can't put it off. We must take time. We must make time. We must allow time to be available for something as simple as encouragement. And I think we miss encouraging each other because of that little four-letter word in our life. Everything's just so squished. Willingness, emotional energy, and time. And then we read from a passage in Romans 15 in the first sermon about endurance and encouragement and how encouragement originally comes from scriptures. And then as we kind of broaden this out into kind of the John's introduction of Jesus, that Jesus was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word became flesh, the Word came to earth, that Jesus was the very Word of God that came to earth, and he gave endurance and encouragement through his attitude, which was consistent with God's Word. And we put all this together in a passage we read in chapter 15 of Romans in the very first sermon of this series. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught. So all these things that were written, the old scriptures, they were written to give endurance. Scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, so they give endurance and encouragement, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. Jesus gave endurance and encouragement by serving, by going alongside. And we could look at that on all three of the levels we've been talking about: compassion, service, and support. And that, when you look at the power of it, he says, here's Scripture. Scripture encouraged. Scripture gave endurance. Here's Jesus who came, and he gave this same attitude that brought the same thing that the Scriptures brought, strength and encourage, or endurance and encouragement. So the power of that, that elevates, that takes, and here's where it turns up from just regular encouragement. Regular encouragement takes willingness. Regular encouragement takes emotional energy. Regular encouragement takes time. But when we talk about biblical encouragement, here's where it turns up tremendously. Here's where it has the ability to thwart sin's advances, to help aid someone in their battles. And that is when it is scripturally sound, when it is scripture or sound doctrine, let's write that down. Encouragement simply involves scripture and sound doctrine. Because we know from Romans 15, from many other passages, but that just specifically that one we were just looking at, it's very clear that endurance and encouragement come from the scriptures, and that is one of the purposes they're written for us. I'm a huge fan of the book of Revelation. A lot of people are worried. They don't like to mess with Revelation. They don't like to get into it. It's a scary book for them. And it is written, the first and foremost reason it is written is to encourage the believers. There's so much else that's built in that. But when you look at the simplicity, the top reason, you who are faithful, you who are strong, guess what? Everything's going to be fine. We win. It's an encouragement to the believers. You read throughout Scripture. Scripture has the power to encourage on a level that nothing else can. So you want to give your encouragement some depth, some power, some strength, then it simply needs Scripture and sound doctrine. It doesn't mean that you need to be a Bible college student to give that. You're just in God's word and you're reading, and what you read, you take in, and then you're able to share it when the time is right. When God leads you to that, he'll bring the scriptures back that you've been in the reading. You'll have amazing situations, which I'm sure I could probably, you know, get a handful of people here in just a minute that would be able to say, yeah, I've had that happen, where you've been somewhere in the Bible and you've just read something, either a devotion that morning or you've been doing your own Bible study and you came across something, and then like the next day someone came up to you. How many of you guys had that experience? Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Scripture and sound doctrine. Numerous times in the New Testament, we see this instruction in God's word connected to encouragement. That the New Testament, the people who were pioneering the church, that they would go and they would give instruction and encouragement. That they would preach and teach, and encourage. They're connected there. So much so that in the list of things that are expected out of the elders at Crete, Paul writes to Titus, he says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught, so that he can encourage others by what? Sound doctrine. It's for encouragement. That's not just limited to elders just because it's in a list for elders. Sound doctrine encourages, period. Leaders are to lead out by example. That's why it's a qualification. But that's for everybody. Sound doctrine encourages. We should be sharing on that level. We should be encouraging on that level. Why? Because we can. Amen? Because it's powerful. Because it's something that sets us aside, sets our encouragement aside from any other encouragement that someone could encounter. From anyone else or from any other place, we have scriptural encouragement. We have the power of scripture, the power of sound doctrine, willingness, emotional energy, time, and scripture and sound doctrine. Connected with scripture and sound doctrine is our other piece here, is that encouragement simply involves faith and hope in the promises of God. Faith and hope in the promises of God. That's encouraging, isn't it? People can provide support and strength to help someone to endure through anything that life throws at you simply by reminding them of the hope that we have in Christ. The faith that we have that God's promises, God always comes through on his promises. To remind them, like the book of Revelation, that our victory is an eternal one and our reward is an eternal one. Our sufferings are temporary. Our sufferings are earthly. Our reward is out of this world. It transcends anything in it. All the muck that you deal with, all the stuff that we have, all the mess that gets mixed in with our life. The faith and hope we have in the promises of God exceed all of that. Go way beyond all of that, and that is encouraging. That's how powerful biblical encouragement is. Let me share with you a quick story here from Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, we come into a position here where Moses is leading the Israelites through the wilderness. They're on their way, the long way around, to get to the promised land. And so in the process of this, they're being attacked by the Amalekites. And so Moses calls Joshua in to him and he says, hey, Joshua, I want you to get some of our men together. I want you to go out and I want you to fight against the Amalekites. Stand against them. You go out and fight against them. While you're doing that, I'm going to be up on this mountain at a safe distance. No, there's strategy here. So, and he says, while you're fighting, I'm going to be on this hill with the staff of the Lord, which there was power that had been imbued into that staff. It's he parted the waters with the staff. And so he said, I'm going to hold the staff up while you fight. And as he held the staff up, the Israelites were winning. But when he got tired and his arms were getting weak, as his hands lowered, the Amalekites started to win. Let's catch up here in Verse 12, it says, when Moses' hands grew tired. Okay, well, I thought I had more scripture there, so I'll tell more of the story. So as Moses wasn't there alone. Moses, he was smart. He had Aaron and another guy named Hur with him. H-U-R, okay? This is way before all the gender mess that we're dealing with. But so it was Aaron and Hur, like Ben Hur. Okay, so Aaron and Hur, and they were there with Moses. And as they saw his arms getting weak, what did they do? They supported him. They gave that support. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Do you realize you have that power in other people's lives? Simply through encouraging and support, you can make the difference between victory and defeat in their life. It's an Old Testament illustration of what the writer of Hebrews was talking about earlier. You can make the difference simply by getting underneath and lifting up and giving supports. And victory was given to Joshua that day because they were supporting Moses, the leader. That's what was happening, and that's how it happened. And that is the power that you have today at your disposal. At your disposal. That's not a word, is it? It sounded weird. But that's what you have. That's the power of biblical encouragement. It's life-altering. It's life-changing. You can make the difference between a victory and a defeat in someone's life by simply getting underneath and supporting, by simply encouraging. Connecting with God's people, or connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. Quick. We're just going to take these notes. I'll keep my mouth shut on them. But just a little review about how God has not left us alone in any of this. These last three words in that core value. God has not left us alone. Compassion, service, and support. It's going to write these down. We are empowered by God to be compassionate. We are made in God's image. God is a compassionate God, is he not? We are being made into Christ's likeness. Christ was compassionate over and over and over again. You have been empowered spiritually on a supernatural level. You're being made into the likeness of Christ. On a natural level, you are made in God's image. So you are empowered to be compassionate. We are empowered by God to serve. We have been given the Holy Spirit gifts that we have been given, and we have been given those gifts specifically to serve each other. Serve one another with the gifts that you've been given. We build up the family of God by serving each other with those gifts. It's Ephesians 4. I had to move that out of the sermon. I wanted to really focus in on what we talked about today. We are empowered by God to encourage. What sets us aside from just regular day-to-day encouragement is that our encouragement has the power of Scripture. We have been given the power of Scripture and the hope of eternal life with God. You have been supernaturally empowered to connect with people in these three ways. Let's not neglect that, church. Pray with me. Father, thank you. Thank you for the wisdom that was given to us from the many different writers in the Bible, giving us this word of encouragement that we would understand how potent, how powerful encouragement is. Father, I ask that you would help us to encourage each other, that we would grow in our relationships with each other. That doesn't mean that everyone here must encourage everyone else, but that we would grow close to a number of people here and to make sure that no one would be left out. But that our church would really put this into practice. I think if we just took one of the principles that we have spent a lot of time on this year talking about, if we just took one of them and really made it happen here, we would see tremendous differences. Father, this is a simple one, and it can have life-changing results. Help us to be encouragement. Help us to get underneath and lift up, to support. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.